What's going on? It's your boy Mar Wayne.
What's going on, y'all? It's Gabe.
And welcome to the How Did We Get Here podcast, where your thought gets caught.
Period. Okay. It is our first episode. I am so excited. Okay. If we had like the clapping background, it'd be like, woo!
We'll probably eventually get that.
Okay.
Eventually.
I would love that. Okay. I'm so excited. This is our first episode of like the first season. Mar and I have been friends for a long time.
A couple decades.
Decades. I would say like probably three, at this point, like close to 3 decades now.
Something like that.
Niggas can't say that nowadays, okay? Half of y'all hoes, y'all be friends for only 2 days. And then you drop the motherfucker because you realize that they really wasn't your friend. Yeah. But you know what? We done found something, and we found something good over here.
That's neither here nor there.
Right. Well, you know.
So what we'll do is let's start it off with the recap of how was your week.
Let's start that off. Okay, so my week was good because, you know, I'm just a regular old person over here, you know, working a 9-to-5 just to stay alive, child, you know, working my customer service job. But honestly, other than that, I've really been preparing for this first episode. You know, Mar and I have been really getting things together, getting our outline together and all of that. So I'm really excited about that. But actually, this past weekend, I just celebrated my best friend's birthday, so I went down to Philly to go celebrate her birthday. We went to Otherworld. Have you heard of Otherworld Philly before?
Mm-mm.
So Otherworld Philly is...
whose birthday was it?
It was my friend Marty's birthday.
I thought it was Marty. I didn't want to just assume...
Yes, shout out to Marty. Happy birthday, Marty. Yeah. That's my girl. You know what I'm saying? That's my bitch. That's another person that I had a long relationship with. But anyway, so it was her birthday this past week, and we went to Otherworld Philly. And Otherworld Philly is basically like an interactive museum. So, like, you know, I love trippy shit. You know, I'm like, one thing about me, y'all, I do drugs. I love me some.
Well, I mean, not to that extent.
What you mean? I don't do coke.
No, but I'm saying like, no. I'm sorry.
What you mean?
No. I'll let you get to your truth. Go ahead.
Okay. Continue. So you know.
Continue. I didn't even mean to cut you off like that.
I do drugs.
My fault. Well, all right. But go ahead. You didn't
listen, y'all. I do drugs, and you know, I went to an interactive museum. Okay, so basically, it's just like a whole bunch of trippy shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like big ass fucking Furbies, and like you know, saying? You remember
is that the place with the mirror room with the balls?
Yep. Okay. It has like different. It's like basically like 48 rooms like in one big ass building. Mm. It's fun as fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Very much tripping. If you love to make some content, take some pictures, that's the place to be, okay? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, I did that then.
That was your first time there?
No. Uh-huh. I did go there before with a, I had a little yeah at the time. All right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I had took them to that motherfucking place and shit. You know what I'm saying? I be taking motherfuckers out on dates.
Do you now?
You know, I'm trying to do my thing.
We find out.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you a few things. You know, y'all find out a few things in this podcast. But yeah, other than that, you know, it's been pretty smooth. So how about you, Fram? How was your week?
My week, actually had to wind down from Wifey's birthday.
Yes, shout out to Wifey.
Wendy's birthday, October 30th. Our birthday is October 30th, but we pretty much celebrate like the whole month. So,
listen, Scorpios will do that to you, okay?
Yeah, so
we love Wifey, okay?
So we had to wind down from that. Then, you know, had to work at the end of the week. Actually, had a decent week at work, but, you know, it is what it is. Other than that, same as you, man. Just we've been, you know, locked in. Getting ready for this podcast, you know, that's all I've been talking about, especially with family members, like, and more than just talking about it, like, you know, because we were, you know, here, like, when was that, like a year ago? Maybe 2 years ago? What was that?
What, to talk about the podcast? Or
when we were about to do it.
The first time with Mia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like about, yeah, it was probably about close to maybe like a year and a half.
Okay, yeah, so... But, you know, when we had that conversation, like, we're going to do it this time, and and the conversations I've been having with, you know, family and friends is like, we've just been much more intentional
about,
you know, getting into it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where the excitement comes from. It's like, all right, so we're really going to do it now.
Yeah.
And
we've been taking it much more seriously.
Yeah.
The
preparation has just been, you know, complete day and night compared to, you know,
back what it was before.
It was just a kind of like a pipe dream.
And honestly, I definitely feel like that, personally, that's one of the things that motivated me is the fact that, you know, I'm like, okay, so listen, if we're going to do this, we got to be dead ass about it. And when I presented to you the idea and then, you know, I was like, listen, we're going to, let's spin the block. Okay. We're going to spin the block real quick on this idea because I like this.
Yeah.
At the moment, I would definitely say, you know, a year and a half ago, I wasn't really in the right place mentally. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't, niggas was going through a lot, you know? So I didn't think that it would make sense at the time. And I think that God had to really put me through some things and navigate things through my life.
Remember that video I sent you? It started off, it was like, God gave me this a year ago. But it wasn't meant for me then.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now that I'm in that season, now it's time
now
for
it's
it.
Time
because
for
if
it.
I tried it before, you know, I could have failed. Mm-hmm. And that failure could have led me to never want to try it again.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But now, even though he gave it to me a year ago, now I'm prepared to move forward and make it happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that video, when I saw that, that's immediately why I sent it to you. And it made exact, you know, perfect sense for what we're trying to do and what we've already been through.
Yep.
So,
you know, and I honestly feel like that's one of the main reasons why as well, because of the fact, you know, both of us are very much faith driven.
Yeah.
You know, me being a PK, I'm very much, you know, Jesus.
PK, pastor's kid.
Preacher's kid, you know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, I'm Haitian. So, you know, we got, it's a lot. So, one thing about me is that I believe that God does things for a reason. And while I may fuck up and, you know, go against what he says and I do my own thing, but at times I tend to like try to reel myself back in and try to just always keep in mind of what the ultimate vision is. And I always knew, even for me from the start, that there's always going to be something that I need to do as far as me being in media and me speaking my story and my voice and letting people know and inspiring. You know, I always feel like that for me that one of the things that I always say as like a slogan for myself is that I bring light into this dark ass world. Because number one, I'm a Gemini.
Okay.
Number two, I'm a badass motherfucking bitch.
Okay.
And I just feel like that my energy is always just like, you know, I always can have a good time. And I, you know, I feel like that you could probably attest to that with the stories that we
were telling. For sure. No doubt about that.
So I just, you know, I feel like that's the reason why that God put me in this world is to always speak my voice and always make people happy. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, you know, speaking of that, you know, let's get into our first segment. So our first segment is the How It Got Started segment. So every episode, y'all, we have a segment called How It Started. So we basically do a flashback of, you know, any type of story that's a fun story between Mar and I that was basically since elementary school all the way up till last week, if anything. Okay. So, you know, we'll discuss that and it'll obviously be some sort of premise of what the whole episode is about. So this whole episode in this first episode is pretty much going to be about how Mar and I met, how we became friends and the whole transition of us, you know, being cool all the way up till this time of being in our 30s, you know, so let's kick
it
off.
That's a lot to unpack right there.
Okay. So how you met me? Let's talk about that. How the fuck you knew who the fuck I was?
Well, nigga, I mean, how did you meet me? I mean, because other than what, school, you wasn't allowed to leave your balcony.
Okay, so right. So, you know.
We grew up in Timbrook. You know, Timbrook apartments in Ocean Township, New Jersey. That's probably like, what, to describe Ocean Township.
So I would say suburbia, Ocean Township suburbia, is
like Little Italy.
Yeah, very suburban, elite, yeah. The Jersey Shore. So yeah, let's just say that, okay, because yeah. Everybody's going to know.
Almost, yeah.
Very much the Jersey Shore. That's very much what Ocean Township is, suburban, but where Mar and I stayed.
Twinbrook.
Twinbrook. Basically, yeah. What it did, what Ocean Township did was, it's like a whole bunch of houses and rich houses, multimillionaires, but they... I don't know who the owners of these buildings were. I feel like they were.
They have various owners, you know.
But basically what they did was they pretty much gave like three apartment complexes in Ocean Township. And that's the majority of where African-Americans stay because that was, Ocean Township was at the time a very well, it's a very good school academically. I feel like black people just wanted to go there to, no shade to the other sides, but they didn't necessarily want their kids to be at Asbury Park or Neptune. Yeah. Because
my parents graduated from Asbury.
Of course, but, you know, I just kind of feel like that they, you know, a lot of black people that were in Ocean, they wanted to just kind of, you know, move up. And then that way of leveling up for me was going to Ocean Township and living in Twinbrook. So, yeah. So... Yeah, I wasn't allowed outside.
So then what? We met at school.
So we definitely met at school. So I would say...
well, you was in... So probably kindergarten, because you was in Mrs.
Marks.
Marks, and I think I was in Mrs. Baldwin.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Baldwin's class.
But I was always funny.
I think we were on, like, the same time, though.
Yes. So I was going to say, so it's so funny, because I was bad as hell, no shade. I was good, but I was bad. I feel like that the teachers...
We were all bad as hell.
Yeah, but like, I kind of feel like that the teachers tolerated me, though. Like, they knew, like, they was like, this motherfucker, like, this chunky, cute little bitch. Like, because I had, like, Mrs. Marks as my teacher, but Mrs. Marks, like, God, because I feel like she did at this point. The bitch was at least about 70 years old when she was my kindergarten teacher.
She dead at this point.
She is dead. She passed away. God rest her soul.
She is?
She done died. We in our 30s. Are you Mrs. Marks is still alive?
How do you know? You
assume, what's her first name?
I don't know. But you assuming that lady's dead?
She is. She was friend. That
I'm sure
woman.
Mrs. Baldwin is dead because I heard about it. But you didn't hear about Mrs. Marks dying. You
just I did hear dead. Mrs. Marks die. I heard it one time.
That's terrible.
No, honestly,
anyway, you know what? We're going to move past that. And then we were actually in Mrs. Buck's class.
Yes, but together. In the third grade. But I know, yeah. But hold on.
How old do you think Mrs. Buck's is?
At this point, she's definitely in her 60s. Because at that time, she'll probably be in her 60s at this point. Yeah. She was in her 30s. She was definitely in her 30s.
Shout out to Mrs. Buck.
I love Mrs. Buck.
She could sing, right?
Her ass
yeah,
off.
She could sing.
So that's one of the main things that actually with Mrs. Buck and I, we got a little connection with is because... you know, since a young age, I was always a singer. I was always singing in the church. So, Mrs. Buck was a singer as well. She was like a professional singer. No shade.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Shout out Mrs. Buck.
Okay. We love Mrs. Buck. But yeah, so that's where we actually like kind of connected because we had
I think
class.
We all kind of terrorized that wayside school. I remember, you know, in Mrs. Johnson's class first grade, I was throwing pencils in the ceiling. Yeah. I bugged out. Not bugged out, but like, you know what I mean?
You were throwing pencils in the ceiling?
Yeah, like.
Was it stick? Oh, because it was,
the sharp part, yeah. Like,
was it sticking?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I was
you.
A talented first grader.
Well, we love to see it. Okay, yeah. You gotta, you know, shoot your shot.
Well,
okay,
shot.
Well, listen. Okay, I was doing some bullshit in the first grade. Well, what was I doing? Okay. So in the second grade, I don't know if you. I had Mrs. Gilvary in the second grade. Do you remember Miss Gilvary?
Not so much.
Okay. Well, I had her for the second grade, and I remember that I cut. Shout out to one of my, you remember Gina Samples?
Yeah.
So I actually cut her hair in the second grade. It was so funny. Well, you know, hey, not how dare did shut up. So, Gina, you know, I was sitting right behind. So, and the thing is, she wouldn't even have known if it wasn't for this other bitch. And I ain't even gonna shout her name out. But you know who the fuck you is, bitch, okay? Yes, she knows who the fuck she is.
Second grade.
Yes, she should. So, because I'm going to tell you the motherfucking story. So anyway, so we was in the motherfucking second grade. We was sitting, you know, she was sitting right in front of me. And I was right, you know, right behind. And you know me, I was a little bit mischievous back then. Is that the right mischievous?
I guess so.
Mischievous.
Because you just cut the girl hair for no reason.
Friend, that's all I did. And you remember, have you remember, like, Gina had long hair. Yeah, sure, like, yeah. Beautiful red hair.
Yeah.
So, just snip, snip. I was motherfucking Dr. J, bitch. Okay, cut that girl's hair like I was a goddamn cosmetologist.
I bet your parents whipped your ass.
They, cause I got caught, cause a little hoe next to me.
Still, it don't matter.
She done told.
But what happened when you went home?
So, Miss Gilberry ended up writing a note saying what I did, and my dad.
She put it in your folder or something? She
yes,
put it
back. And my dad whooped my ass.
I'm sure he did.
These are weapons, okay? Let's get to this. The things that parents used to hit us with, those are weapons, okay? They lucky that we ain't motherfucking press charges all day ass, but we love them so much. But my daddy, one of his weapons was definitely the belt. My mother's weapon of choice was a telephone cord. The extension cord.
Okay.
That was definitely her weapon of choice.
The belt was definitely...
The belt from my dad, I feel like that. I feel like that's very much, you know, every man's weapon back in the 90s.
You know, it's funny. I used to hide...
The belts.
Because I would get in trouble. Yep, and I knew my parents knew I was in trouble. Yep. And they used to take turns. But most of the time, it would just be my dad. So, right? So, I would get in trouble. And my dad was at work. And I would get home. And I would hide all the belts in the house. Not thinking to myself, this nigga wearing a belt right now.
Right now.
Getting ready to come home. And he could take that belt off and use that. So I could have literally trashed every single belt. But it didn't matter because this nigga always had a belt around his waist.
Always, friend. My dad used to have like a collection of belts, and I actually used to hide them as well. Mm-hmm. But just like you, he always had a belt.
So you know what he'd do? He'd bring me into the room, and he'd talk to me for like 20 minutes.
Yep. Why do they always do that?
And then
I hate around a bush ass motherfucker.
If it was in the bedroom, it'd be underneath a pillow. If it was in the bathroom, it'd be a tall rack of towels. It'd be underneath a miscellaneous towel. He'd just reach
right.
And grab the belt from under the towel.
Ain't
and
ready
and,
for your ass.
And in the last 5 minutes,
your ass
yeah, it's, a, it's, a, it's dub. A dub. It's a dub.
We love him though, but yeah. You know, oof, chill. Okay, well,
I guess that's how it started.
I guess so, because I just, it was a lot. So transition to what, I guess, you know, we were all cool, you know, and I think when we really, really got connected, though, because we knew, I feel like back in elementary school, we knew each other. We weren't necessarily, like, we were close, and I feel like the times that we may have been, like, that we spoke as well may have been, like, when we were on the bus, because, like we all know, I was
in different classes together.
Right. But
in elementary school. Intermediate school.
Yes. And definitely in intermediate school, that's really when
we got like tight.
Yeah. And
because Ms. Johnson.
Yep.
Pretty much that entire from like sixth grade to eighth grade. Like,
literally.
Because we were so involved in like the different plays and musicals and things that she would do. Like, you know, we just naturally just clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember, what was it? Was it a talent show or something like that? Remember when we were working on the Donnell Jones
song? I think it was a talent. Wait.
Remember when we was working on the Donnell Jones song?
Yeah. Was that when we did that for the talent show? Because we did two things in middle school. We did the talent show and then we did the Motown thing.
Yeah. The Motown thing, I was Barry Gordy. Because
mm-hmm.
I really couldn't sing. So.
And I was Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
My black... We're not even going to say this because of the fact of how, you know, we're not going to say that. cut that off.
You Steve Wonder because we can't see you.
Now, imagine, do you think Mrs. Johnson shady ass trying to do that
Who
shit?
Who knows? Who knows? Shout out Miss Johnson.
No. But no, shout out to Mrs. Johnson. Johnson.
You know, her niece is still in the Bad Boys.
Yeah, she was just in the recent. Is she going to be in the newest one too?
I would presume so.
She's still. Okay, so fun fact, because now I feel like that you know I'm. No, I really don't. But honestly, so fun fact, she don't know. She don't even remember.
The time that when she came in that classroom, she was like, hey, y'all, and sat right in the corner.
That was
like
when she did the. That's when she first did Bad Boys.
That was before smartphone, so yeah.
But that was the first movie that she did Bad Boys. I feel like that was when she came to our school. So, first of all, shout out to Mrs. Johnson. Mrs. Johnson is a. She was our music teacher back in middle school. Also was the only black woman as a music teacher in our middle school. And I feel like the only black woman as a music teacher alone in the district of Ocean Township. So shout out to her. She was also someone that was an inspiration for me to move forward into music. Mar was also very heavy in music. That's the reason why him and I got close. I feel like even during that time, that's when you were kind of starting your ELOG stuff with you Robin, and with Rob and
Mike.
And and with me, I was doing a lot of theater. I was in the church still, but I kind of really wanted to do theater, but I was doing theater in the church. Because my parents would not let me do nothing. I couldn't go to no school dances. I couldn't go to the eight.
You didn't see Gabe in class. You didn't see Gabe.
Literally. And that's when, like,
for any extracurricular activity.
Nothing. It wasn't until high school.
Well, but except middle school, like with the, you know, different things that we did, like, you know, the talent show.
Right. They did let me, because it has something to do. If it has something to do with music, my parents were definitely going to be supportive with that. Yeah. You know, I would definitely give that to them. My parents were always going to be supportive about my music. They wanted me to do gospel. But, you know, obviously, you know, they were going to be supportive about my music. So I was definitely going to be, I was definitely happy about that. But
her name is Bianca Bethune, by the way.
Who?
Ms. Johnson's niece.
Oh, you looked her up? Well, shout out to Bianca. Yes. So, yeah, so with Mrs. Johnson, so she has her niece, who is the daughter
of Martin Lawrence.
No, not on the Bad Boys movie. Yeah. I'm about to say, not in real life.
Marcus Burnett, she plays Megan Burnett. Her name is Bianca Bethune.
Yes, okay, she done came to our school. All the kids, all the girls done ran down. Oh, my God, You know, it was real cute and whatever. So, you know, shout out to Mrs. Johnson. Mrs. Johnson honestly paved the way and gave an inspiration to a lot of black people, a lot of people in general in Ocean Township.
Well, she gave you that feeling of, like, you know, as a kid, like, all right, there's somebody that looks like me.
Yeah.
In this position. You know what I mean? So you kind of, like, let your guard down a little bit, you know, more than you would normally.
Yeah.
You know, growing up the way that we did and, you know.
A predominantly white school.
It is what it is. So, you know. I mean, that's probably why, you know, most of us was in, you know, involved with music or, you know, did something in that regard, you know.
I feel like that was like our release. That was like the only place that us as black people was able to release ourselves, because they didn't have anything else for us in that middle school, to be honest with you. They literally, I feel like that's all they had for us as black people that would be catered to us is chorus. You know what I'm saying? Now,
then we get to high school.
Right. Then we got to high school, of course. And if you remember, you know, because for me, I wasn't the best scholar. I was always in summer school. Yo, so, you know, thank God my ass could sing. God gave me the gift of singing, and gab. Okay. I know how to use my mouth, and I know how to use my mouth.
Okay.
So,
oh, Lord.
Just saying, friend, that's what happens. But anyway, so, you know, back in high school, you know, now we're in high school, so. The blood!
You need some of that.
But no, in high school, so you remember I actually tried out for football, or I was going to try out for football.
Freshman year. Oh, yeah, that was a good time. So, because it's funny, because I actually was a little bit of a scholar, but I got to a certain point
where you were smart.
I got very lazy. And I think that's what upset my parents the most. Like, you know, so there were a couple of years when I went to summer school, and I think it was that year.
It was going into freshman year. Yep.
We were in summer school together, and you were about to try out for freshman football, and pretty much every day when we were going to summer school, I had you
we
out there working out.
We were in that fucking gym, okay? I was doing my big one. Gabe was in there working out.
Bro.
I was really doing my big one. Yeah. Because Jamar was actually always a, he was always in sports. Like, since he was a kid, you was always in, like, what's it called? Pee Wee Herman?
My parents actually originally, they put me in, the first sport was baseball. T-ball.
Okay.
My mom was my T-ball coach.
Period. Shout out to mama. Yeah. Okay.
My mom was my T-ball coach. That was my dad's sport. He loved baseball. Like, he could watch it for hours. Me personally, I could never, like, but I love playing it. Like, it was definitely fun. But then when I started playing football, like, it's just,
that was your
thing. It just kind of lost my interest, and that's what I was into. But yeah.
Yeah, football freshman, was definitely your thing.
Freshman
and
year, we were trying to get you in there, but
yeah, that's the reason why
it came like to the day of the tryouts. Your mom said, absolutely not.
Mika shut that shit. And you know what's so crazy? I told everybody in my house that I was trying out for football, and I was literally going to after school, like after summer school, I was staying after to work out with Jamar because, you know, my mom at that time, like, she loved her some Jamar.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, sure. Jamar, you know, sure. I'm like, okay, mom, I'm about to be okay. You know, everything is okay. This is Jamar. That's how she says Jamar. Jamar. So,
shout out to Mika.
Yeah, shout out to Mika.
That
but
was my biggest fan back in like
she was until
06.
We gonna talk 06, about when the shift 09. Happened. Okay, we gonna talk. It was later during high school when the shift happened, child. But
that was like after
Mika. Honestly, she I don't know what happened, but like you know what happened. Her ass saw a bill like from back in the day because my brother also used to go to Ocean Township and he used to play all the sports. So his ass was also apparently, I guess he wasn't that good in playing all the sports because he was breaking a lot of motherfucking bones. And my parents had to pay some motherfucking hospital bills on that ass. So when I said, hey, I want to play football, they said, oh no, your ass ain't. Okay, you going to stay your ass right at this house. No, you're not. And I called Jamar so sad, y'all. Yeah. I was so fucking sad.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I was sad, but, you know.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, Jamar had to move because, honestly, from high school on, like, Jamar was in football. Like, you know, that was.
Yeah, that's because, that was around the time, like, you know, I was doing music with Rob and Mike and all that, but. Even Mike, because Mike was a great football, he started like kind of like he was still very much I think involved in music, but like on his own terms. So like all of us like doing it together how we used to just kind of like fell apart. You know what I mean? And I just
do you feel like football was the reason why that y'all group fell apart?
I wouldn't say that. I would just say for me that was my reason why I didn't move forward with it. Like, I wouldn't say like oh that was the reason why you know ELOG or. Guys, you know, fell apart, you know, because at the end of the day, everyone's their own man, like, you know, so when one person doesn't make
right, one monkey don't stop no show,
you know what
right.
I mean, so, but yeah, that was my reasoning, but, you know,
shout out to ELOG, let's talk about that real quick, because that was definitely a time,
it was a good time,
you know, that was definitely,
we actually bought a beat and everything, what was the name of that song?
VIP. VIP, the girls stay VIP, fresh with the button up.
Fit that was up, our beat and everything, thing, yeah.
Listen, okay, let me tell
that
y'all,
was
I was
we
a fan,
that.
Y'all, okay? They had a nice little group. It was called ELOG, and it was like about 10 niggas.
No.
Listen, it was about 50 motherfucking niggas, all from motherfucking Ocean Township.
No,
it was about 100 motherfucking niggas, y'all, okay? They was all, because actually, Ocean Township didn't even really have 100 niggas
right.
at the time. That's really
exactly.
But really, it was really about like, what, six? It was like
over time,
because y'all was over here transitioning like it was motherfucking making the band
like or like the Temptations or New Edition.
Listen, I mean? They was changing motherfucking members like it was fucking making the band. But at the time, they had a song called VIP, and back then, what we were it was the internet days. So what was it? LimeWire.
This was, bro, this was
MySpace.
This is going MySpace. Back to like middle school, like sixth, yes. seventh, eighth
that
grade.
That was my shit. That they had a nice little beat. It was like a, it was giving me a, he's so contagious. And it was like a nice little Indian beat. Mm-hmm. And it was like, VIP, the boys stay fresh with the button up, fit it up and love that. Listen, shout out to my friend Rue, okay? My friend Robbie.
He was like,
he's still 12, an artist. Robbie Rockington. Y'all 11, gonna see 12, him very 13, soon.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were super young. And, yeah, wow. That was back when, you know, Mike's mom, before she had passed.
Yeah, God rest her soul.
Yeah, she actually was one of the people that helped us buy that beat for that song.
That's what's up.
She would take take us back and forth to shows and everything.
Yeah.
Miss Cheryl was.
Yeah. Shout out to Miss Cheryl.
God rest her soul.
Yeah, absolutely. But so high school was definitely a time. So let's transition to, you know, as we continued on, you was doing your football thing. At this time, I was involved in a lot of African-American club. I was very much African-American club. I was very much. I feel like during that time for me, well, you know, for you, you was definitely, you know.
I was in African American club, but, you know.
You was doing
it. When necessary, you know.
Exactly.
Well,
the reason why Jamar was in the African American club is because it was an elective and he needed to pass the fucking class.
He needed it
for college.
There was times. So there was times. Let me tell you something. There was times where in high school we had performed performed The Temptation?
You know, in high school, always the African American club in February we always had.
Me and Mike had did a Run DMC thing.
Yep.
Yeah, bro. I was involved.
I'm sure the girls.
Don't get me
probably,
twisted. I was involved in African American club. Now
you was doing your thing. You was definitely very much doing your thing.
But I had other responsibilities.
Good for you.
Okay. Thank you.
We love to see it.
Yeah, well.
You know, my responsibilities was the African American club because I love me Miss Mina. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Miss Mina. You know what I'm saying? We love you. Plus I was doing a lot of plays too. I don't know if you remember, you know, transition to even high school to senior year, I was in Cats. So, you know, my big ass was old dude.
Cats?
You ain't know I was in Cats, bitch?
I wasn't watching plays, bro. I'm not going to sit here. Like I was watching somebody's plays. I was not watching plays in high school. I was practicing. I was playing football. And if I wasn't doing
there
that.
There were people in, first of all, there was niggas in football.
Okay, but if I wasn't.
In the football team that was in my fucking, in Cats.
Man, if I wasn't doing that, I probably was either smoking.
You know what's crazy? Because you're a goofy ass show. Because I was smoking too.
I was drinking.
But you know what's crazy?
I was minding my business.
You ain't shit. Because during that time, because we going to talk about this too. Because now. Yeah, let's transition all the way to senior year because honestly, let's talk about it because during this time, that's when I first wanted to smoke. You know what I'm saying? Around junior year, going into senior year, I felt like during that time,
I think it was just like senior year.
Was it just senior? No,
I think it was just like senior.
You sure?
Year. Yeah.
That
wasn't a long span of time. No. Yeah,
junior year.
That was like senior year.
Okay, so senior year. It was senior year.
You still wasn't out here.
It was
like
in November-ish.
You were still kind of on a lockdown. Like.
Yeah, I do remember. Okay, yes, it was senior year. Okay, so, because I remember I was like, I need a change, y'all. I'm like, all my life was literally church homeschool. Literally church homeschool. I knew that Jamar, you know, he dabbled into some weeds.
Some tweets.
And I remember this vividly. I was literally in my mom's job because she works as a nurse, and I was, you know, she used to take me to her job, and I was literally over there, and I'm like, I really want to do something different with my life, and I was like, I want to try smoking weed, and I called one of my church girlfriends, and I was like, girl. I'm so sick of this regular life. I'm about to call my friend Jamar and I'm about to smoke me some weed. And she was like, I don't think you should do it, Gabe. And I'm like, girl, fuck you. I'm going to do it.
Should have listened to your friend.
I should have listened to my friend, y'all. No shame. But
I'm still smoking down.
But anyway, hey.
If I didn't introduce it to you.
Hey,
you
know, someone would have.
Someone would have.
Someone would have. But anyway, fast forward. I remember having a conversation with you. I was at your locker. I was like, I want to try smoking weed.
Mm. And I was like, yeah, okay.
No, but you were against it at first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, yeah, okay.
You were against it. And then I was like, no, I'm dead ass. Like, I really want to do it. Like,
and then I just kept like, all right, Gabe, yeah. I was like, yeah, sure. I just kept kind of like just like, you know, kind of like just playing you along, like egging you along. And then eventually this motherfucker just walked up to me with like $60 in his hand and was like, I want to smoke weed.
Listen.
I
was dead ass.
At that point, I just, all right, well.
And mind you, okay, so now that you see the money, so your ass,
go smoke some
because weed, your guess. Ass done see the money and now I'm going to pay for the weed, now your ass
is going to smoke. We in high school.
You ain't shit.
First off, I'm not working because, again, my main focus is football. My parents did not make me work when I played football. Like, okay. So I wasn't worried about nothing else. So as far as money goes, it's not like I got some allowance or some shit. Fuck.
So you knew that you was going to be getting weed from these white folks and you just didn't want to join at me, you know, hop on to the motherfucking blunt because you knew that you really wasn't getting, you wasn't paying for the shit.
I think that was a much complex explanation for what that was. Let's break it
down. That's what I'm hearing.
Let's make it a lot more simple.
Okay, because you said, because I done brought the goddamn money. And you said, oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's smoke.
Yeah, simple. Pay for the weed that we smoke.
Right. So what I'm saying is the reason why that all the time before when I said that shit, you paid it, you were like, this nigga ain't bout shit because he ain't paying for it and he ain't going to be fucking up my motherfucking plug with me getting smoking from.
I had nothing to do with that. Because when you think about it, when we first started smoking, it was just us. It would be like like me, you, and Kirk. And eventually.
No, my first time smoking was with the whole motherfucking football team.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Well, I can't remember back that far.
That nigga, my God, today. So, yes, it was the first time, and I did not get high because it was about 10 niggas. It was about, people.
And there you go.
So, it was one blunt with about 10 people. So, thank God. Then
eventually, we probably.
Then the second time, yes, you know, the second time, it was just me, you, and Ricky.
And then I remember I used to not want to give your ass the blunt because after you smoked the blunt became unsmokable. Yeah. When you first started smoking, you used to fuck the blunt up every time. Yeah.
What did I do to it?
I don't know. That's a great question, Gabe. What did you do to it? Because the shit would become unsmokable every time. It got to the point where we would smoke the shit and wait till it got to a certain size and then give it to you. Because
y'all ain't shit.
Yeah, well, you wasn't going to fuck up everybody else.
Y'all ain't fucking shit.
But that's like two decades ago. So that's neither here nor there. No,
but that's 2 decades ago.
That's neither here nor there. But yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I remember when you first started drinking. Oh my goodness, be gracious. That was something. You got drunk at Rob's house.
Oh my God. And he walked you down the street. Okay, so this is, you know,
You had to sleep in that car.
I used to drink, y'all. So my first time drinking, it was like, what was it, 4th of July? So that was 4th of July at Rob's house. I remember that. All of my friends, you know, we used to, in Twinbrook, we all used to like, they used to just go to each other's houses and just chill and party. Right. That's what we used to do and whatever. So
he was doing that like super young.
Yeah, so
I wasn't in that party
until senior year.
I'm telling you, when we was like young, like middle school, like me and Kurt and like Jimmy and all them, like the older kids, like seniors and shit like that, like they was like,
yeah,
they was getting down.
Yeah.
And we was like young as hell, just like, just happened to be around, like not knowing shit, not knowing no better. But we still around, like we still involved. Like, so I think that played a huge part into, you know, just how we grew up and mature and the things that we thought were
okay,
and cool. Because I'll say this now as a dad, like, bro, like the way that we acted and the things that we did at that age, like where we at high school with it, I wouldn't even want to imagine her.
Fab, I'm right.
You know, even.
Yeah, we used to do some wild shit. Even past stuff, high school, like for, like honestly, my senior year it was definitely. I feel like my senior year for me, as far as drinking and being, I feel like that was like my year of kind of. I guess, forming of who I was going to be in my young adulthood. Mm. So a nigga used to turn the fuck up. So, you know, we all did, though. You know, you and I, we always, you know, we used to drink. Yeah. And one of the main things that we used to do was drink and smoke, and we used to party. So, you know, I feel like that even all the way through adulthood, you know, of going through, like, into college and all of that, that was probably one of the main factors of our relationship, was the partying and the drinking. And
I think that was just a different part of it.
Because
you got to think, like, the foundation of our friendship and, I would say probably music.
Yes, definitely. Right?
When you think about it, definitely. Like, you even think about just as far back as the first class we were in together with Mrs. Buck. Mm-hmm. You talk about her being a professional singer. I remember her using music in different ways that, you know, she taught. And,
yep.
And you think about just the attraction to that. Like, my son loves music. You know, mm-hmm. He's 2.5. And anything that has music, if, like, they did this special with Sing. It's Thriller.
Right.
You know, he's obsessed with that now. He's obsessed with just anything Thriller. Like, Michael Jackson's Thriller video comes
doing,
on.
He's going to start doing
he'd be dancing and everything. Like,
But that's also because we both were raised in, like, kind of, like, musical backgrounds, too. Sure. You know what I'm saying? In the church. Mm-hmm. You know, both of my parents are pastors. My dad was in a group back in the day. So was my mom. That's low-key how they met. Low-key, did you know my dad was going to be a priest, friend? Yeah, we can talk about that later. My mom, you know, she was a floozy. It's like, no, I'm kidding.
you better stop coming from Meekin. For as long as I've known, you've been coming from Meekin. That's crazy.
Mika brought up, we're going to talk about that in another episode, but, you know, it's a lot of trauma with her. But, you know.
So where we at right now? So, I mean, I feel like we covered high school?
Yes. So right. let's talk about how you were in, after high school, we graduated. Let's transition into young adulthood. Yeah. Let's tap in briefly into, you know, what happened with, you know, with Michael a little bit. But, because that was a very pivotal moment, because we were already out of high school.
Yeah, we were out of high school. So
that was 2009.
So, well, as far as life events go, you know, I can't sit
I
here
just feel like, because just briefly, because we're going to tap into it a little bit more, like, when we get into the parenthood episode, but
of course.
But of course, this was a pivotal moment between us as well.
Well, even before that, you know, because, you know, just us working on mental health and all the things that we, you know, keep inside and fight ourselves with, you know, this is a huge part of it. So after we graduated high school, mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm, you know, that's when I had gotten to, you know, trouble, mm-hmm, for the, you know, first time, 18 years old, you know, and boom, catch a third-degree robbery charge. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much derailed anything football-wise after high school.
Which was some bullshit. Let's really get into that. But
it is,
you know,
that's
neither here nor there.
Here nor there, mm-hmm, right? And that happened. We graduated in 2009. That happened literally like a month or so after we graduated high school. And that you know, when that happened, definitely, you know, showed us some true faces, you know. Like, we were able to, you know, definitely see people's real intentions and how they really felt.
It was rocking with you.
Neither here nor there, you know, just going into what you were just about to bring up with my dad. For a long time, bro, I actually blamed myself for part of the reason why my dad, you know, had passed away the way that he did. Like, I felt like he was disappointed and kind of almost had, like, a broken heart, too. Mm. You know what I mean? Even though, but at the end of the day, I know he was sick, and that was something that he was dealing with himself,
right?
Right? But, yeah, for a long time, though, I took part of that blame as well, because it was like, damn, I disappointed him so much that, and I took this thing out.
Mm. You know
what I mean? Like, I felt that bad about the decisions I made and getting in trouble and you know, kind of, like I said, derailing
the vision,
the path, you know, all the sacrifices
that
my parents made. Like, right. That football shit is not cheap. they sent me to like different camps and stuff like that, and not even just that, but if you think about just the equipment and what that costs, you know what I mean, from being, you know, from Pop Warner days to, you know, actual high school, like, so, you know, my parents definitely sacrificed a lot, and yeah, I felt like I disappointed them so much that it just took them out, and that messed with me for a long time. I said, we're talking about mental health, and that's going to be a big part of, you know, what we discuss here on this, you know, in this space.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to, you know, realize that, you know, that wasn't my fault.
Right. Because that's what I was going to say. You know.
And you just got to just move beyond that.
You got to remember that God works in mysterious ways, and God does things for a reason. And I remember during that time, for me, I think I was on my way to Florida. That's when I was on my way to Florida to go to college. And all of that happened. And I remember the situation with you and that whole bullshit. And I definitely thought it was bullshit. But I definitely feel as if that during that time, you know, God was showing us something, and God was showing you something that is going to be, you know, it's going to be a different path for you. And I know that it was definitely hard, but where you are now, you know, is definitely, everything happened for a reason. And we all know that Michael is literally right next to us. So, you know, that man, all the stories that I've had with Michael, Chow, what he used to call me? Burberry?
Blueberry or something. Blueberry.
He did not care for you too much. I was going to say, so every time, so, because all the times that I used to go to Jamar's house, I wasn't supposed to be there. Because, number one, my parents, I actually lived in a different town, but I still went to Ocean. Yeah. So we lived, let's be clear, we lived up the hill in Neptune because there was a difference. Mm-hmm. So we did live in up the, I do, you know, we lived in Neptune and whatever. So I still lived in Ocean. But so the times that I went to Jamar's house, I wasn't supposed to be there. But when I used to go there, Michael was always like, what, nigga, like, why the fuck is this nigga here? Like, yeah. I know he's going to be causing some trouble. I know these niggas about to be doing some bullshit. What the fuck is this nigga to
me? He was not a fan of
me. He was not a fan.
And a lot of that was, yeah, because of the times when your parents came to the crib.
Yes. Looking because, for you. And you know because like, I kind of feel like...
My dad never appreciated that. And that's funny because I get that from...
Because before when we were younger, because I was always going into... Yeah. I was always... When I used to live in Twinbrook, I was going to the crib and everything was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like when we was in middle school, all of that, it was until... That my parents, when I moved, and then my dad, I remember my parents were very, like, they tried to, like, I don't know what the fuck they, like, you know, them niggas try to run up on motherfuckers.
They used to stake outside my crib.
They used to stake outside the house, waiting to see when the fuck I was coming outside. My dad, one time, you remember, like, we had finished smoking at your crib. And I forgot where we was about to, I think we was about to go to Kurt's house. Literally, I turn around and my dad is literally across the street waiting for me because I had stayed the night at Jamar's. Mm. And my dad is literally across the street. I'm like, I gotta go, y'all. And my dad's not saying shit in the car until I get to the crib. I'm getting my ass told the fuck. Because by that time, I'm not getting my ass beat. I'm like a senior in high school. So it was terrible. But
no, I tell you, my dad, he used to pissed when Gabe would come over because it was that one time when your parents came there looking for you. My dad did not appreciate nobody coming.
I feel like both of your parents, I feel like ever since then, they just were never really too much of, they were like, Gabe is.
And I think that was when your people started like with the, like, you know, oh, Jamar's a bad influence.
Yes.
And that's one thing you're not going to do.
You're not going to do that with somebody's child.
You're not going to go into Michael Jefferson's house and talk about my Jamar child or Ashley.
That's a fact.
That's a dub.
And that's
and once honestly, you do that, then good luck.
And you know what it is for me? Like, one thing that I always used to explain to, because honestly what, and this is something that like what really kind of, because my parents kind of like till this day kind of do this. They feel like that I was heavily influenced by my friends into making the decisions that I made. as far as drinking, as far as smoking, as far as partying and all of that. But little do they know, I made all of these decisions by myself.
Right.
And I was the pretty much the main person that wanted to party and right. wanted to do these things, while y'all were probably the ones that were telling me, Gabe, you might need to slow down.
Right. Plenty of times.
You know what I'm saying?
Plenty of times.
So that's why I just, that's kind of why it always annoyed me in those moments where they were blaming your parents, or not blaming your parents, but blaming you.
Or anybody, and then going, anybody outside
or anybody
of you.
Outside of me. Yeah. And, saying that, it's because of them that you're not doing. And I'm like, no, nigga, like, I wanted to do this for myself.
Yeah.
So, shout out to your parents, and I love them dearly. I still love them. I try to show Mama Joyce so much love all the time that I see. I know that she's still got a little, that little heart on.
I don't think so.
My mom, she's
for the most part, a pretty forgiving person.
Shout out to the cancers, because she's just like my mom. My mom's a cancer, so especially, I definitely can see that.
If you have good intentions, but.
And I feel like
if you're somebody that's wronged my mom,
yeah,
and you like, let's say you never apologize or whatever, what may have you, she's gonna hold that forever. She'll definitely hold that forever. But if you eventually apologize, she'll probably let it go. So she's my mom. Shout out my mom. She's a forgiving
person. Shout out to Mama Joyce. We love her. Okay.
But yeah. So my dad definitely not a fan.
So from there, to that though, and then moving forward.
Were you at that Red Lobster?
Yes.
My birthday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there. So I was there for that whole moment. And when it happened, I was there that night. I literally drove, I had went back to my crib, and my brother drove me back over to yours.
I was about to say, you wasn't driving at this point.
I didn't know.
I remember when you first learned how to drive.
I was 21.
I know.
I came back from college. I'd already went to college and everything, and I didn't know how to drive. But that was like a week before. It was like a few weeks prior that I was going to leave for Florida. But yeah, it was just that moment for me. It was like, okay, well, this is a moment where both of us is really going to, I need to be by my friend's side. I need to be present for both of my friends, because not only am I your friend, but Ashley's also one of my best friends as well. So I need to be there for both of you guys. And I need to make sure that you guys know that someone is present and someone is always going to be here for you. You know what I'm saying? Because like you stated before, that was the moment where you realized that there's people that you really could, you thought that you could count on, but you really couldn't. So I feel like that.
Yeah, prior to that, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like that from there until even now, I have made that a choice in all of my friendships to try to stay as present as possible in whatever you guys go through. And if you need me, I will always try to be there, because of the fact that that's what I consider y'all as family. Right. You know what I'm saying? And especially because of the fact of how I was raised, and because I was so closeted and sheltered and all of that, I was able to really be myself with y'all. Right. You know, y'all was really able to see who Gabe really was. My right. parents don't really, that's why they be so goddamn confused and thinking that it's really my friends. No, yeah. Bitch.
Like, they don't really know you.
They don't really know
so,
fully.
So let's actually even pivot on that. So now that actually goes right into, a perfect timeline. So now you go to college and you're in Florida.
Yes.
This is when we start visiting you.
Yes.
In Florida. And this is Gabe in like full effect, like
full
120%.
I am full party, yeah. Gabe. I was in
those some wild times. Those couple of years that we had took that trip to Florida, was that 2011, 2012?
A nigga was outside, yeah. Okay? Because I was, first of all, I was out of state, okay? I was literally, I told y'all I was fucking sheltered my whole goddamn life. I've literally, during my whole life, you were able to experience things as far as, you know, going, you know, being in football, being in relationships, you have been knowing of, you know, what's going on and, you know, being in relationships with women and all that. During that time with me and my whole life, I was literally struggling with my sexuality and struggling with who I am as a person.
And,
so,
and you know, and it's funny because, so, you know, because we've been friends like our whole lives. Mm-hmm. So, you know, growing up with dudes, or, you know, in Twinbrook, you know, older dudes and dudes our age, you know, there'd be times when they would say, because everybody knew each other. So they knew you. And besides just being friends with me, they knew you because a lot of them were Haitian. Yeah. Right. So they knew you through like their parents and their people. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And there would be times where I would hear like dudes or even dudes close to us would be like, "Yo, Gabe's gay."
Yeah, and they always time, had. Yeah. Everybody always had that because I was always myself.
Right,
that's one thing. Like I was, but at always that time, myself.
I would always defend you.
Of course,
believe it or not, I don't know.
Thank you, friend.
And, but it was only, but it was only because
as you should have.
You're my friend, and you never expressed to me, or I've ever seen you express to anyone else that that was. You know,
what was going on with me. And exactly. It wasn't, and honestly, and let me, and you know, we will actually transition to that a little bit because it wasn't really until when I moved to Florida that I made that decision. Like prior to, I remember I was being in my parents' house and I'm like, okay, well, I'm about to move. I'm about to be out here. I want to really explore and really just understand like who I am. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until in Florida that's when I explored.
Well, let me tell you, you know, it's funny. We had, because remember we used to use your laptop when you was in Florida.
Okay.
We heard about that. Using your search history. So that was the confirmation. That was the confirmation. Florida was definitely the confirmation. We was like, okay, yeah, so he'll come out soon enough.
Actually,
yeah,
no shade. But it was actually not only you, but I've actually heard my roommates. My roommates actually did the same thing, and they've like looked at my search history wrong. Mm. Because I used to be drunk as fuck, y'all. I used to get fucked up. So like, you know, throughout, and then shout out to my school because they used to give us checks. So y'all remember, you know, financial aid checks was one thing, but with us, because I went to a school where, you know, we used to get living expenses because we didn't have dorms and none of that. So you remember I had my own apartment. Yeah. So they used to give us like.
So was you not supposed to have those roommates in there?
Yes, we all were in Full Sail, and they all had checks, their own checks, living or you know their
so
parents.
So check, the checks were what? So
they were like probably like a good like. Quarters? So basically, we used to get at least every three to six months, we used to get at least like $10,000 to $15,000.
Okay.
Every 3 to 6, and to a 19-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. You already you don't got to tell me because I already know.
Fucking,
I already know how you was knowing it,
nigga. We outside. I used to buy y'all flights. That's how these niggas used to get come to Florida. I bought this nigga's flight. I bought his flight. I was like, nigga, you got to come down here, okay? It's fucking lit down here, nigga. We having a good time. I bought his flight.
I get flued out.
I was flying my niggas out before getting flying my niggas out. Okay, all my friends, my friend Kendra, like all of them, like I was flying by all of my friends.
It was always like a good five.
So
me, Rich, Kendra,
yes, like
Cindy, Nia.
Oh my God, it was such a good time. So
shout out the 2011-2013 squad.
So that was a time that I was really like I was reckless and. Although it was like probably from 2009, honestly, I was thinking until like probably 2 years ago, no shade, but on and off, you know what I'm saying? As far as being reckless and being heavy on drinking, I used to drink so bad that like I used to black out. I broke like my, so after college, I moved back to Jersey. I remember this is when you and wifey were in Eatontown. I think this is when she was pregnant.
Boy.
First of all, yes, she was I remember niggas got so drunk, I broke his toilet. Literally, y'all, like when I say broke the toilet, I mean the toilet is literally off the bottom of
you broke the back of the toilet in half.
In half.
As if like the Incredible Hulk fucking karate chopped the goddamn back of the
toilet.
I
don't even know what the fuck I did.
How? Because I wake up to water just flooding the house. I didn't hear you break it. I just wake up to water flooding the house.
This was not in Eatontown.
No, this was in Eatontown. This was in Eatontown.
So then it happened twice then, friend. Because what happened in Tom's River? Didn't I break something in Tom's River?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. That was a whole nother story.
Yeah, that was a different situation.
That was when I was with you.
Yeah, that was your goofy ass.
Yeah.
Anyway, never mind.
But anyway, no. Eatontown, you fucking... The only way I would imagine it is you were probably trying to use the bathroom, and then you eventually just fell into the back of the toilet, and the back of the toilet literally was broken in half, like a smooth break in half, and water, and that's how I woke. I didn't wake up from you breaking it because you broke it,
and then
went to the couch and laid down like everything was okay, and I woke up to water. Me and Wendy woke up to water flooding the goddamn house, and shout out to the maintenance man at the time because his last name I forget. I think his. Oh, what was his first name? I think his first name was, I can't remember his first name. I don't want to say Kurt or something, but his last name was Scott. And when I met him, you know, it was a brother. When I met him, I was like, I wonder if you're related to my family down south. Their last name is Scott. And he was like, oh, well, I'm from South Carolina. I'm like, oh, really? So we always kind of like made a joke about it. Like, but he was mad cool. And when it happened, that was the first person I called. He came right through, shut off the water, and just so happened to have a spare toilet just lying around. No fucking expense to us.
Thank God,
that is really the story. Thank God, no expense to us. But yeah, you came through and broke the fucking toilet
this whole time.
Like, yeah, this I should have charged you. I should have wrote you an invoice. I should have wrote you an invoice and just collected that money over time.
No, seriously, y'all, I was reckless. I was breaking fucking toilets. I broke so much shit at people. Yeah. I broke my mama's sliding door. I remember one time my friends brought me home. I was so fucking drunk. I remember, like, I was drunk. Rob and my other friend, you remember Lauren? Mm-hmm. You remember the times, all the reckless shit that we did with oh my, this nigga used to take people's, he was very good at taking people's cars. This nigga used to just take people's cars when we would be out in the club or out in,
that
out
was
in
only, a party. That was only a couple times to save Javon's life.
Child, bye! There was nothing wrong with that man. He was drunk.
He needed something to eat.
Girl, boy, shut up. There was nothing wrong with that man.
I took him to the Burger King.
And you could have got, you didn't have to take him to no goddamn Burger King. There was a Chicken Shack right around the corner. No, you didn't. 10 hours later. And then, let's talk about Florida. Your ass took the goddamn car in fucking Florida.
The van.
The fucking van and drove. Oh my gosh, y'all. This man.
We were about to go to Daytona.
It I wasn't hate
just,
wait, you.
That wasn't just me. That
I was
Javon,
so
too.
Fuck, shut your ass up.
That was Javon, too. You can't
so
just blame me.
I was so fucking pissed, y'all. This nigga took the goddamn fucking car.
But
we had a time that we were going to be leaving to go to the beach. We already had a time that we were all going to be going to the beach. It was like 10 a.m. These motherfucking drunk niggas, want to decide to go ahead and say, hey, let's take the keys to the van and let's drive from Orlando all the way to Daytona Beach.
We didn't go to Daytona.
But where'd y'all end up? Y'all end up almost Cocoa. In fucking, y'all Cocoa ended up Beach. In, Co- in which is an hour and a half away from Orlando. So we didn't know where the hell they was going. They were just driving.
That was a good ride.
Shut up. I hate you. Like, literally, I was so fucking pissed. I was so pissed. This was, the shit that Jamar used to do. He used to do some bullshit, y'all, that really used to piss me off.
But you know what? That's maturing, right? Because, you know, growing up, you make mistakes and you don't realize the mistake that you made until some time later. But when you grow up, you know, it's not to stop you from making mistakes, but you realize that it was a mistake much sooner.
It was a mistake.
Yeah, it was a mistake. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that until later on.
When you grew up.
Exactly. See what growing up does for you, friend?
You ain't shit. Anyway, so, you know, that's one of the definitely, and you, honestly, I feel like that this is probably going to be a transition into one of our, you know, the main segment, which is, you know, the how, you know, we have how it started and then how did we get here is, you know, the transition of the, you know, me drinking and all of that, because that was something that was major that we did between you and I, even throughout in college, we were doing that as well. And even after college, but I think even during that time, our connection was still strong. I think even still because of music, during that time, Rue was doing stuff with his music. I think you were going back to doing stuff with your music.
Well, remember when the couple times when we went to see you in Florida, your roommate,
yep,
Michael, he was the engineer.
Yep, we made a couple songs, shout out to my roommate Michael. So you know, during that
music
time,
just always happened to just be there.
It was always something that was always going to be there, and it always like brought us together. And I feel like that for me, and one of the reasons why that I chose to, you know, go ahead and move forward with this with you is because of the fact that I know that both of us, that we have this vision of knowing what we want as far as in media and as far as in music, and we have a good, we can converse really well.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of, throughout time and throughout, even though that things may have, because throughout time, you know, your ass became a whole ass father. you know, we shout out to the babies. And so shout out to the babies. And me, myself, I kind of feel like that during, you know, after college, I was really in a space where I was like, okay, I partied a lot because I told y'all I used to party. And I was partying a lot. I used to do a lot of drugs. Listen, shout out to the mom.
Molly, obviously, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't going.
Shout out to the Molly.
Remember, all right. So remember back in the beginning when you was talking about the trippy museum.
Yes.
I wasn't going.
I wasn't going to put your stuff on.
I was just saying I was going to put your stuff on there.
Listen, y'all. I was doing Molly. I was doing ecstasy. I was doing drugs. The only thing that I haven't tried is cocaine, and I mean, I will say heroin, but Molly is technically, if you really want to talk about it, you know, there's a little bit of heroin in that shit. But you know,
no, that's
Molly was definitely my ecstasy. Oh no, that's the ecstasy. I tried that too. I was on that bitch too. So you know, I've done it all. And like, let's just say I went to an art school. So you know, I feel like us going to art schools, we just try a whole bunch of different shit. You know what I'm saying? But I partied a lot, and I feel like that during the time of after college, you know, I continued to party and continued to do the most. However, I still in the back of my mind was like, okay, you kind of have to get your life because you didn't graduate because of the fact that your ass was partying so fucking much. I was literally 6 months from I had 6 months away of graduating. Yeah. And because of some bullshit that I did in Full Sail or, you know, in my school, you remember when I threatened my school, like on Twitter? Did you hear about that?
Not the details.
We'll talk about that a little bit later because I don't know like if I could really say anything.
So we won't bring that up then.
But let's just say I did some bullshit, okay. And you know it just was a rolling of a ball from there.
Domino effect.
Yes, and along with me partying, I just couldn't finish. Ooh, I couldn't finish school. Yeah, they got my ass, and they said, "Nigga, you can't come back. And if you want to come back, we want $30,000." And Mika,
actually, you know what? I do remember.
You remember that?
I don't remember you threatening your school, but I remember you going
because it wasn't really a threat. So let me tell you, I'm gonna just say the story a little bit. So basically, what happened was, I told you about my financial aid checks.
Okay,
they used to come a little bit tardy. And my bills was getting paid, and I needed, you know, I was running low on some cash. So, you know, Twitter was really, you know, popping. Right. Not saying that X isn't popping now, right now, but X has a whole different mindset. Okay? Yeah. But Twitter back then, when it was really popping. That's when everybody, like, you expressed your whole feelings. And I was someone that was expressing my whole feelings on other people's Twitter. So basically, long story short, I went on Twitter and I said, if my financial aid advisor doesn't answer my phone call, because she wasn't answering my phone calls during the time, like the lady was not answering me.
Good.
I said, if my financial aid advisor does not answer my phone calls, I'm blowing this shit the fuck up.
What's wrong with you?
Not even 2 seconds later, Full Sail fucking Twitter.
Oh shit.
They say, "Hey Gabe, how you doing? What's going on? So is everything all right here?"
Hold on. Wait, did you tag them in your thing?
No, I didn't. I just had, but you know back then, even now, if you even put a name of a business, it automatically alerts like the business or something.
So that's what I'm saying. Like
the algorithm
What did you put? Did you put if my Full Sail financial aid So you put their name in there?
Yes, I did. I put their name.
I'm surprised you ain't go to jail.
I did not go to, I almost was about, listen, let me tell you, Frank. Yeah. I pulled up on their ass. I went to the financial aid office right the next day. I remember it was me and my roommates. We done pulled up over there, right? Bitch, I done went over there because I want to talk to my friend. I want to talk to the advisor because I spoke to the people on Twitter and I thought everything was resolved. They said, you know, everything's going to be resolved. We're going to handle this. Da-da-da-da-da. We're going to call you tomorrow. So I done went over there. Bitch, let me tell you, they had security come over and escort me out of that goddamn financial aid office. I was not allowed to go into the financial aid office for the remainder of my time until they told me that they wanted $30,000 for me to continue on to Full Sail. And I said, okay, well, I don't have it. And thank you so much for your services. But no, honestly, back to that, like, that was some bullshit.
On your part.
I mean, honestly, with the whole, I mean, look at me. I mean, well, back, I mean, look at me now. You know, but back then, I was like.
Are you saying they did bullshit or you did bullshit?
We both did some bullshit. It was both of us.
What was their bullshit?
Their bullshit is they should have ran my money on time. At the time, they gave us dates of when we were getting our checks, friend. They gave us dates and it was delayed. I had plans for that money. And then you know I was a party nigga. I was out here partying and shit.
Let me tell you something. Gabe, bro, you are funny as hell when it comes to money. At least back then you were. Back then it was. Remember Panera Bread?
So back in. Okay, so let's just say this. I have a thing of. I think that I am supposed to. I receive blessings the way that I receive blessings.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the way that I receive my blessing. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. In Panera Bread, I used to work at Panera Bread, and they had the customers thought it was a tip drawer. It was a tip jar.
Okay.
You know that's what they thought, friend. That's what they thought.
Okay.
On the jar, it did say that it is for another, it's not for the employees. It was for something else. However, the customers, they literally, I remember times that the customer was like, oh, let me give you a tip. And I couldn't wait long enough for me to say that because, let me rewind back, because we weren't allowed to receive tips, you know, by hand. Mm-hmm. So, and then me knowing that I can't do that, I was, you know, and them thinking that this is a tip jar, you know, I just let them go to the tip jar.
Long story short, Gabe used to steal money from Panera to.
It wasn't stealing.
To fund our drug habit in high school.
Yes.
And a little after high school.
A little bit, yes.
So, sticking to that part of the segment. How did we get here?
You know, thank God for Jesus because honestly, thank I used to God do a lot Jesus. Of bullshit for drugs and alcohol. I used to do some reckless shit.
I know me personally. I mean, I know. Drinking, like, you know, because I didn't really see my dad cope with things otherwise. Mm-hmm. Like, so, I could definitely say I learned that from my pops, unfortunately. So I didn't really know how else to, you know, cope and deal with things. But, you know, we've had conversations in preparing to do this.
Yeah.
And you know that, you know, recently I've been actually on the path of trying to, you know, be sober.
Yeah.
You know, because there's been years where drinking has definitely gotten the better of me.
And,
you know, but I do praise God and I'm thankful that I'm still here and I have another chance and another day and another opportunity to be better and to grow. And because you know we've been through some shit.
Listen, and, we could have been. Let me, like, honestly, there have been times when both him and I have been together where we could have been. Not here. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, no. Well, look, I had two DUIs.
Right.
The first one completely blacked. I mean, obviously both of them blacked out, but the first one was on the parkway. Flipped my car completely over.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really come to until I was being dragged out of the car upside down. That shit was crazy.
And speaking of car, like for me, the reason why that I actually stopped drinking 2 years ago is because of thank God, but you know, the way that God worked, he worked in mysterious ways, because he always like gave me moments of saying, nigga, you gotta stop. Yeah. And I feel like that even with you too, like I feel like that we never really listened. And there were always moments in my life that it was a lot of like, you know, when I had a drug charge, you know, the situation with me and with having my drug charge in the car because of us being drinking and on drugs and all of that. And then I got into car accidents and, you know, it was sporadic moments when I was like, okay, I'm going to stop. But then I just went back again. And I remember 2 years ago, I was drinking, but I was actually during, if you remember, like during that time, I was kind of up and down, you know, cause I was like, I wanted to stop, but like.
You would convince yourself that it was okay.
That it was okay.
At certain occasions and certain times.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that voice that you just said, like where like certain moments where it's like you hear God saying like, nigga, it's time to stop.
Yeah.
What I mentioned before about how maturing, how like when you make a mistake, like you see much sooner as the more you mature, you see much sooner the mistake that you're making versus being, you know, more young-minded where it might take you a little bit longer to realize that that's a mistake. I think in the same way that you're maturing, that voice that you hear where God might tell you like, nigga, it's time for you to stop, that voice gets a little bit louder.
It gets louder.
The more you mature.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that's what I mean? So
and
true.
It gets a little bit louder, and it's more, you know, pertinent. Like you, like you really hear it.
Yeah,
you know, and I think once you know, once you accept it fully, then you're able to get to a place where you know you can be at peace with you know some of those demons that you're dealing with.
And that's what happened with me. Like it was just pretty much, I got into two car accidents in a lip in a matter of 5 minutes. Two car accidents.
Something about that time in New York?
Yes.
And and you ran over that man on the bike?
No, Fran. That was another time. That was another drunk.
That was crazy. Jesus I remember Christ. That time. Yeah,
I
was.
In I the did.
Yeah, you ran over a man on a bike.
Oh my God. Okay, so that was another time that my God was telling me, "Nigga, stop too," but I didn't stop. Okay, I kept on drinking after that, but you know, where were we? Where
that was in
you
New York.
Weren't there? But it was actually
I was there.
You weren't in the car though. It was Ashley and Javon.
Maybe I don't know, but I remember.
Yeah, it was my two friends. But anyway, so yeah, that it wasn't that, but because I kept on drinking, I was definitely that was when I was living in Lakewood.
Yeah.
So this 2 years ago was when I was living. I moved to Jersey City, and what's crazy is God does again. When I say God does stuff in mysterious ways, before I moved to Jersey City, I stopped drinking. It was around the time of COVID. I just moved back to my parents' house and I stopped drinking. I just moved back to my parents' house. And then I was like on and off with the drinking. If you remember, I was like, I'm only drinking champagne. Yeah. And you know, I was during that moment. I was like, I was thinking that champagne.
Funny how the devil was like, I was thinking that champagne
wasn't going to get me drunk, but that shit got me fucked up. So
sure.
I was fucked up, but you know, so that was that time. And then, you know, at one moment I just stopped drinking. That's when I was really big on my fitness. That's when I started getting heavy on my fitness. And I was heavy on losing weight. So once I stopped drinking, I lost weight immediately. Like I shed it. So that kind of was a pivotal moment. And I was like, okay, cool. So during that time I started my YouTube channel. If you remember that, I started my own YouTube channel. I was doing a lot of Keeping It G stuff. And people were hearing me out in like entertainment. And I was able to get my internship out in Brooklyn. And I got my internship. And during that time, during celebratory moments, because I wasn't drinking during that time, because God blessed me. God, honestly, because I was manifesting something to change in my life. Yeah. I was like, God, I want something to change. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to do the work. Like, I was
nothing's
going to
change if you keep doing the same thing.
Exactly. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting something to be different.
Let's talk about
it. So I changed my ways and I was focused on my media stuff and I was drilled in onto it. And I, you know, went on and I got into my internship, but then I remembered it was one celebratory moment and I was like, I'm about to drink some champagne. And then from there on, I started drinking again.
That's where your thought got caught.
That's where my thought got caught. Okay. So,
cause that, that's what, you know, people don't realize too. Like, and I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've been there where, you know, because I've been drinking. I used to steal my dad's bottles of vodka, you know, in high school. Yeah. Like, so
I remember.
So I started off yeah. raw, you know what I mean? And growing up in Ocean Township, they was drinking Laird's vodka.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yuck.
Bro, if I even smelt that.
Oh right my now, God. Rubbing up. Alcohol. Is
but,
disgusting.
But anyway, what people don't realize is cause you know, a lot of people are like, all right, well, you know, I won't drink heavy. I'll just drink beer.
Right.
You know, or something like that. Or I just drink champagne. That if you have a problem with drinking, that opens up the door.
Another door.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just it lowers those inhibitions and now it's much easier for you to take a shot of some Hennessy yep. or some Patron. Happened, you know what I mean? Like that a lot of people don't realize that.
That was what happened with me and I was literally I felt like I was okay. You know what I'm saying? I was still drinking, but I was still doing my thing in media. So it wasn't until, you know, God, I feel like that God, like, you know, he was blessing me and he was doing what he was doing. And I felt like that. I felt for me at that moment, because that's when I turned 30 too. So I felt like that this was my moment of like, okay, you are here. You're in this moment and you are good now. So you can be able to dabble and you may have control.
You can control it.
You can control it. False. Yeah. So from there, I, you know, just continued to drink, do my own thing and all of that. And I remember I stopped drinking December 20th. So 2 days, so December 18th, I, if you really want to know, I was leaving a sex party.
When did I say I wanted to know?
Well, I'm a,
if you really want to know, what you want to ask me if I really
want to know? Well, if the listeners want to motherfucking know, the listeners may want to fucking know.
Okay, I guess they want to
know. The people may want to know where the hell I was at.
Gabe was leaving a sex party.
I was at a sex party, okay?
Where was the sex party at, Gabe?
It was in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn,
okay. Out in Brooklyn, yes. And you know, I've gone to this party. You know, I've been to this place multiple times.
Were you using protection, Gabe?
That's none of nobody's business.
All right.
But, you know, I say protect yourself. Whether you are on PrEP, Doxy, use condoms. Yes, condoms. Right. Okay?
Anyway, go on.
Yes, condoms.
So that's when you stopped drinking?
Shut up. I was leaving the sex party.
It took the sex party for you to realize that, you know what,
maybe listen, it I may take some dick for you to drinking. Realize, and then the dick and two fucking car accidents after you get in the dick. You know what I'm saying? So I done left the sex party.
Let me tell you something. I don't need no dick to...
Well, sometimes, you know, some pussy made for you. You know, some pussy.
No, that's called. No.
Anyway, I was leaving the sex party. It was about 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning. It was 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning. I was drunk as fuck. Leaving the sex party, going back home. I hit a car. Boom.
Oh. Wow.
Literally. Not even hit a car. Shorty was out. Shorty came out the car. Black woman. I was like, girl, are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm okay. I'm like, are you okay? Everything's fine. Car was fine. My car was fine. Skrr, hit the streets. Y'all, I'm on the phone. Literally, you know, I was actually on the phone with Ashley.
My sister.
I was on the phone with Ashley.
Great person to be on the phone with.
And I was telling her about, literally, I was telling her, I was like, girl, tell me why I'm just leaving this fucking sex party. And I done hit a motherfucking car, bitch. And I'm like, yeah, girl, I'm over here. Da, 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 da. Boom. I'm like, oh, my God. Ashley's like, Gabe, what happened? I'm like, I got to call you back. Literally hit another car. And this time it was worse. So I hit that car.
What happened with the first one?
The first car, nothing happened. Like, it was just like a little tap. It was like a little tap. It wasn't
okay,
like,
so y'all went on your, okay.
This time around, I was speeding. I was literally, I remember, I was like speeding down. I was on, I don't know where, but I was like, I was in New York, and you know traffic and all that shit. I was, you know what I'm saying? And it became a red light, and I didn't brake hard enough, and I hit the back of this motherfucking car so hard. But on top of that, I hit that fucking car, and I said, skrr!
Hit and run?
Dude, deuces, baby.
Did you get away?
Yes, I did.
They never found you?
Never found me.
Wow.
That was God.
Yeah, look at him.
That's the Lord.
You might not get another one of those.
Let me tell you something right now.
That's why you stop.
That's why.
Because I'm going to tell you, you only get a few of those.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, motherfucker.
Did you?
Okay, because I went back home, and I said, oh, my God. And yeah. I literally, first of all, I boo-hoo cried because I said, what the fuck?
I'm sure.
I literally just got, you remember, I just got that car.
That's the one you got now?
Yes. The car that I have now, I just got that. Of course not, friend. I got that thing.
You
got to
fix it? Okay.
It took a year, but I got her fixed, though. But, you know, it took a little while, but we got it done. But
I wonder if they'll use this as
evidence?
A way to catch you.
You think so? Cut this shit off. Cut it all off. It's not real. All of this is not real. None of this
gotcha.
Is real. This is all fiction. It is all a fiction show. But no, honestly, I just want to say, like, I feel like that was, during that moment, that was when I was like, okay, nigga, you really got to stop. And this is, God was telling me, like, it's a dub. Yeah. Like, if you don't stop, you're going to die. Right. And that was the moment when I was like, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm done with it. I can't do it. And I feel like that was also the moment with me that I kind of had to learn that I may have to maybe have my boundaries because I know that, you know, I know sometimes like when we used to hang out, we always used to drink even until like recently, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I can't always hang around with Jamar or with Mar all the time, or I can't always like, you know, go to parties, or I can't always. So I just always had to separate and kind of make the boundaries with it. And I appreciate, and that's the one, you know, as we kind of close out, I feel like that's one of the great things about our friendship and our relationship is that you understood that without me even having to explain it,
right?
Because we've never had a conversation like this until now, and I feel like that you always, because you've known my journey, you just understood that.
Yeah. I mean, and not for nothing too, like, because let's be realistic, I mean, I wanted to stop drinking for a long time.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm not gonna put a number on how long I've not been drinking, you know, because at the end of the day I don't wanna, you know, put that expectation on myself because I learned a long time ago, you know, you can set yourself up to fail like that. And it's still kinda new for me. So, you know, when we get there and I feel like I wanna share, I will. But I think for me that has me in that mode of wanting to make that change in my life and wanting to stop drinking, you know, funny or not, you talking about all these moments in your life or that moment in your life where you could have easily lost your life or you could have, you know, lost your freedom.
Yeah.
You know, those life-changing moments. Yeah. I've had a couple of those life-changing moments. Like I said, I had a couple of DUIs. You know, I've lost my freedom for a short amount of time because of, you know, at the end of the day, the root of it all, drinking, you know what I mean? And like I was saying before, like, unfortunately, I took that from my dad and even some of the other male figures that were in my life growing up, you know. One of my exes, funny enough, we're in Jersey City. One of the memories I have of Jersey City is being here at St. Peter's and drinking, I'm sitting here trying to find some weed to go with the drinking, and I ended up getting the attention of the St. Peter's security, and now I got to ride back to, you know, to Monmouth County, but that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying is, going through all those, you know, life changing moments where I could have easily lost my life or lost my freedom, you know, and everything because of drinking. You know, it didn't take those moments for me to realize, like, I need to stop drinking. What made me realize, like, I need to stop drinking was I got my little ones looking at me.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's important.
And I took that way to cope with things from my dad, and I don't want my younger ones to take that same coping mechanism and growing up with that
generational,
trying to break
that generational curses
and generational change, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So,
and that's what's going to happen. And honestly, yeah. I feel like that, you know, with this podcast and with this, it's going to help us with conversations like this, because these are some of the things that we're going to discuss. You know what I'm saying, y'all? We're going to discuss a lot of mental health. We're going to discuss things that we've gone through. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be all about, you know, relationships, and because I know that we got a lot of relationship podcasts. You know, as we close out, I just really want to say that I'm excited about everything that we have going forward.
Sure.
You know,
a lot of good stuff coming up.
I definitely think that this is going to be something that is going to help both of us, as far as mentally, I think spiritually, and I think that this is going to be a good thing, and God has something planned for this whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm excited. I don't use that word too often, but I'll say, yeah, I'm excited about what we got going on.
I'm excited too, friend.
I definitely think this is gonna be good. Us and for our community, and just you know, for the culture.
Absolutely, because you know, not a lot of people see stuff, some shit like this. You know what I'm saying?
We're gonna add something to it. So, you know, people are gonna see this, and they're gonna be like, all right, you know, we're gonna inspire. I want to inspire. That's
absolutely.
That's what we're here for.
Show a light to this dark ass world, y'all. Yeah. Okay, so y'all already know. Okay.
How do we get here? Podcast.
How do we get here?
When your thought got caught, don't let your thought get caught.
Okay, because you know if it get caught, it might get be in a motherfucking web or something. You know, it's gonna be like Charlotte. Okay, all right, y'all.
Charlotte, that's where you go with it.
You know, Charlotte's Web.
Spider-Man.
You know, you do love you some. I was about to say Maxwell. What's it, Marvel? All right. All right, y'all. So that is it. We're going to see y'all in the next fucking episode. Y'all make sure that y'all listen in. And I'm excited for what's about to come. Yeah.
We say like and subscribe.
Yeah, so you know, like subscribe, comment. Yeah. We really want y'all to really be supportive and like, subscribe,
how
comment.
Do we get here podcast?
And you know, how do we get here podcast? Set your notifications on for every time that our episodes are going to be coming on. And yeah, just always support us, you know. And as you love us, we will love you. And you know, all them haters, fuck y'all. Because y'all niggas ain't shit.
Not necessary. You have to do that.
Yeah, I said it.
Ain't nothing but love for everybody.
Fuck that. All right, we love you guys. Thank y'all.